Amen. Thank you, Russ. Well, good morning. It's been a busy week, been a good week, as has been alluded to already. We had a great time at the Luau on Friday night, and if you weren't there, you missed a good time. But I attempted to hula hoop. I thought maybe I would be, I guess my belly inhibited it from staying up because it pushed it down. I don't know, it fell down really fast. I guess I'm not quite shaped right to get that hula hoop. Don't need to, be less round, I think, and more vertical. Okay. But it was fun. We had some good food. The ladies who did a wonderful job decorating, and then the cleanup crew efforts just really, really do need a hand of applause. I mean, I just... Talking with Phyllis last night, there were some who said, well, they were so sorry that they weren't able to help with the decorating. She said, but you can help clean up, which, believe me, is just as important. But it's wonderful that just everybody's just having a great time. Work day yesterday, we got a fair amount of work done around here. Still, we always have more work to be done. We will be, this evening, we'll be taking everything off of the carpets here in this building and be cleaning the carpets tomorrow in here. And so the Hmong congregation will be taking everything off. So if you happen to show up at church at Tuesday or something and see that there's nothing on the carpets, that's because we'll be putting it back on again Wednesday and Thursday. So if you have opportunity to assist with that, feel free to stop on by and just move a couple pieces of furniture back to where they belong. Get a couple people. We'll have a few people here Wednesday night. Okay. I think all the announcements and things have all been covered up very well. I do want to just, again, if you do have interest in the Rise with the Guys, I just got the information yesterday after the bulletin was done about the details on who you contact. You can go to a web page or there's an 800 number to call to get the tickets. I've got both of those in the office. They will be in next week's bulletin. If you need that information, see me today before you leave. I will get it to you. Okay. Let's move up to our scripture passage. We're in the Gospel of John. We're looking at chapter 13, verses 18 through 30. Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses or chapter 13, verses 18 through 30. So Jesus speaks. He says, I am not referring to all of you. I know those who I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What you're about to do, do quickly, Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast, or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you even for some passages which are more difficult than others, as is this one. Or we do indeed ask you to send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures for us, Lord, because without your divine intervention, we cannot truly know the truth of them. Lord, we need you to open our minds and our hearts to your word, because often what is here is more than we can just understand of ourselves. Now, Father, minister to us. Anoint me to preach your word this morning. Give me the words to speak that will be clear and touch the hearts and minds of each person here. Lord, I pray that you would be lifted up and glorified through this and all that we do. In Jesus' most precious and most holy name, amen. I'm going to tell you a secret. I was not excited to preach this passage. I've never heard this passage preached before. Has anybody here ever had somebody preach this particular passage? I'm not seeing a single hand go up. I've seen stuff preached on both sides of it. But everybody skips this part. I've read it many a time. But I've never heard it preached. I sat down and I read it. I said, Lord, what am I to do with this? This is not an easy passage. Not just that it's one that has a lot of my difficult meaning in it, but just the topic. This is not something which I get excited about. Oh yeah, let's read about Judas and how he betrayed Jesus. That's not what gets me excited about the Lord every day. But it is indeed in His Word, so it's something we need to address. And I needed to address it. I looked at it. And I believe the Lord has led me to a message, and I've entitled it Belief, Bread, and Betrayal. So we're even a liturgy of this morning. We got our three B's. But belief, bread, and betrayal. Let's look at belief. It's where Jesus starts us off here. He's telling us these things in verse 19, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am He. Jesus has just spent 3 years with these 12 disciples. Turning water into wine, raising the dead, walking on water. And he says, I'm telling you this one thing so that you'll believe that I'm He. You kind of got to go. If you haven't already seen enough to believe that He's got, how is this going to do it? Last week, I talked about washing of the feet. And I had on my sandals. But one of the things I really didn't spend a whole lot of time on was the topic that Judas was indeed one of those disciples whom Jesus washed the feet of, knowing full well what Judas was going to do. He knew Judas was going to betray him. And yet, he washed his feet. He served him. He did the most humbling act of public service a person can do for another. At least wise in that time frame. Getting down on his hands and knees in front of him, washing his dirty feet. Such an act of love, such an act of service, done to someone who he knew was going to betray him. And next he tells us that he knows who that person is who's going to betray him. It says, I'm telling you that I'm going to be betrayed so that you will know that I am He. It's not just that He's told us, I know who's going to betray me. That shows us that Jesus is indeed God. But that Jesus was able to act in such a loving and compassionate manner towards the one who was just about to betray him. God did not withhold his love from Judas. It was there for everybody to see. And when the disciples remembered later, they'd be able to say, He is indeed. I don't know about you, but I couldn't do it. Seeing that act gives me belief. Now belief, again, remember, is not just intellectual understanding or acceptance. Here, what we're talking about is belief that leads to action. If I yell fire, you don't believe me, do you? I mean, if you really believed that there was a fire when I yelled fire just now, you all would have got up and got out the door. At least I hope you would. You wouldn't just sit here and say, oh, well, it's getting warm. No. But belief that leads to action. You believe Jesus is Lord and Savior? You accept Him as Lord and Savior. Satan believes that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. He just believes that somehow or other he's going to be able to beat Him in the end. But he won't. He can't. He's already lost. But for whatever reason, Satan just, he won't believe in the way that we're talking about here. That is, in receiving Him as submitting to His will. Some of us are just unwilling to submit. Submit doesn't mean being doormat. Submit means putting my desires secondary to His. In this case, God's. And when I see that, when I see the actions of Jesus, when I see this telling us this so that we have just one more hook to hang our belief on. Because some of us will say, because Jesus was able to act in a loving manner to the person who was just about to turn him over to the Roman soldiers, I can believe He's a gracious and loving God. I can believe He is my Savior. I can believe. Somebody else will be, because He raised the Lazarus. Somebody else will be, because He went to the cross so willingly. Not eagerly, but willingly. So our belief. That's what Jesus is talking about. But then He starts to deal with the bread. He talks about this bread. How this bread is important. That it's the person who's sharing His bread who's going to betray Him. Bread's a staple of life. It's one of those foods that we need. We need to have a certain amount of starches in our diet and the nutrition that's in these proteins. that are there, the fiber, just every aspect of a good wholesome bread. It's also a staple food, something that can indeed be made quickly, relatively quickly. You can make unleavened bread quickly. It can be stored. It's a simple food, a cheap food. It's pervasive. You find it just about everywhere. But what we also find is that Jesus has told us that His body, His flesh, is the bread for us. Back in John chapter 6, Jesus tells them, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." And then He goes on later to tell us that indeed He is that very bread of life. "This bread is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He says, "If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And this bread is My flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Jesus symbolically gave Judas His very flesh to eat. The death that He was about to face on the cross gave Him that. He gave Him that piece of bread. He wasn't just giving a piece of bread, but this bread is the symbol from the Passover food. And it's that bread, which Jesus says is My body, which is the salvation. He says, "Here, take My salvation." And Judas takes it. And he eats it. But instead of receiving Jesus, he receives Satan. Instead of receiving the salvation that he could have and should have received, he betrays his Lord. Betrayal is a tough thing. What is it? If I don't give you trust, you can't betray me. I have to trust you in order for you to betray me. If I don't trust you, it wasn't a betrayal. Somehow, betrayal requires that break in trust, the fellowship. Benedict Arnold is probably America's most famous traitor. We've had many others, but from Revolutionary War, it was Benedict Arnold. Somebody calls you a Benedict Arnold yet today, you take that as a compliment. Yet he was one of our best generals. George Washington depended upon him heavily. He won several important victories for the Revolutionary Army. But what's he remembered for? Betraying the garrison up by Lake Ontario. He betrayed his people, his own army that he was general of. His soldiers trusted him. The country trusted him. His superiors, General Washington, trusted him. And he took that trust and he converted it to personal gain at the cost of those who trusted him. That is betrayal. And that's what Judas did to Jesus. don't know why Judas betrayed Jesus. We really don't. Was he upset because Jesus kind of held him to account for pinching a few pennies? You know, not pinching as in trying to make the money go farther, but as in stealing. English idea of pinching. Stealing something. Because it seems that Judas might have had a little couple sticky fingers in our, as we see as it talked about in Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and where he's anointed at Bethany back in chapter 12. We have that discussion. So is he upset because he seems to think maybe Jesus knows that he's taking a little bit of the money? Or is he, does he think that Jesus is somehow, he's going to lose anyway, so now he's going to try to bail out when he can't? We don't know what his motivation was. But what we do know is that Jesus loved him and Jesus trusted him. You don't give the person that you don't trust the money. Okay? Usually it is the person that you feel is most trustworthy of handling the money. Now, I trust Ed up and down, but I'm not going to let him handle the money. Because that's just not his gifting. So, you know, it's got to be somebody you trust and also has a gifting with money. Handling it. You know, that'd be more like Peggy. Yes, Peggy. Wonderful. She's why they're not broke. But here's Judas. He's been given the money. He's given the trust. He has that the ability to handle the funds, do the accounting. It's very much a position of trust. And he's one of the 12. Remember, the 12 weren't any 12 guys that just said, you know what, I'm going to hang out with Jesus. Jesus picked these people to hang out with him. He called them. They weren't volunteers. They were called. Judas came. And yet, at this one time, something in Judas caused him to turn and betray his Lord. To take that position of trust and love that he had, and for personal gain, hurt his Lord. Hurt his rabbi, his teacher. Hurt Jesus.
You say, wow. That guy's really bad.
Yeah. Problem was, I tried to figure out where Jesus had done, or where Judas had done something that I hadn't done. I was having trouble with that. Because you know what? There's been times I've hurt people who've trusted me for personal gain. Sometimes the gain might not have been financial. Maybe it's just appearance or something or whatever, but how about have I not done something that the Lord wanted me to do? And or just betrayed Him for personal convenience? You know, is it a betrayal of my Lord for me not to share the gospel with somebody who's been presented to me? And I got the Lord speaking to me. He needs to hear the gospel. That person needs to hear the gospel. And I'm like, No, you see, if I stop and talk to this person, it's going to mess up my schedule and I'm going to get over here. What I find is that if I really want to be honest about it, I've probably betrayed my Lord too. But when I look at this, I see that it's not about the betrayal. It's about the belief in the bread, which are given to somebody who did betray. Judas never came to the point that we know of where he repented and received God's grace. I don't know if it's possible to have for him to have done that or not. I'm not going to get into that theological argument with you this morning, but I can tell you that Jesus didn't go to the cross solely because of what Judas did. He went to the cross for my sins. Not just for the sins of Judas. And he went to the cross for your sins. And each and every one of us has in one way or another probably betrayed somebody at some time. Whether you have betrayed your Lord or not, I don't know. I'm not going to. But I will tell you that He died and it's His bread, His body, which is salvation for us. And He wants us to take that because we believe. So that when we eat that bread and take it in, we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That is His Word. The work that He did on the cross. I'm not talking about communion bread. I'm talking about the work that Jesus did. And that when we take that, we take it with an attitude of belief. I don't believe that it is possible to betray and believe at the same time. See, I've had my belief stumble every now and again, which is why I was able to be a betrayer. But if Benedict Arnold had truly believed that the colonies were going to win, do you think he would have betrayed his army to the British? No. He didn't believe it, even though he was a general. For whatever reason, at that point in time, the belief wasn't really there. Not the belief that leads to action, which is sacrificial and sticking with it. But it wasn't there. And I don't believe at that point in time, Judas believed that Jesus was indeed God. I don't know about you, but if I thought I was betraying God, if I actually thought about it, I wouldn't do it. Let's see. Betray God? The only time I have, it's because of time of unbelief. You can't do it. If you truly believe that God is who God is, that God is omnipresent, omnipotent. Betraying Him is not a safe bet. You're going to lose. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and that you have to receive Him as Lord and Savior in order to get to heaven, if you actually believe that, you can't say, this is the way. I mean, not a way, but the way. This is the doorway to salvation for all eternity. And this is the key, belief in Jesus. I'm going to give this key to somebody else for 30 pieces of silver. Can't do it. So while I may not know the rationale as to why Judas betrayed Jesus, what it was that worked in his mind, I can tell you what wasn't there, and that was at that point in time, honest belief that Jesus was indeed and is indeed the Son of God. So take that away this morning. If you believe and you receive, you won't betray. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You've put Your Word there so that we could believe. Lord, strengthen that belief each and every day. Lord, I don't know how well I presented Your Word this morning. Because it was indeed a difficult passage. And Father, if I somehow said anything which gave the wrong impression of You and Your love and Your good news, Lord, I just ask that those words would be as if they had never been spoken. But Father, I do ask that You'd help each of us to believe. Help each of us to receive that bread of salvation, the flesh of You on the cross. That, Lord, that would prevent us from ever betraying You. Truly betraying You. So, Lord, be with us now. Help us to find comfort even in this difficult word today. Strengthen us for the day ahead. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.